Can we just bow our heads? Father, without you, again, we do absolutely nothing. But with you, we can do all things. As the Lord refreshes and confirms to us what he wants, so this day, I'm asking, Lord, that you would just bring forth what you need out of each of us and out of my mouth, so that these that you have brought will be blessed for your glory. In Jesus' name. I want to take you to John chapter 17 this morning. And I think sometimes we have a tendency that praying for ourselves is not always a cool thing to do. But in reality, the heading in the NIV is Jesus prays for himself. And in verse 1 he says, after Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed. Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Notice again, it's the Father who has given. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I have brought your glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. You say, well, that's him. And yet I could take you to many scriptures that says that you were created in him. And a lot of times we have this short vision of ourselves, of our existence. 50 years, 40 years, 20 years, 30 years, numbers don't matter. And it's reality from Christ that we are eternal beings. We just happened to land in the earth a few years ago. Do I get an amen? Okay, so you landed in the earth. God gave you an earth suit, and you're here. Whether you like it or not, you are. You are who you are, you are what you are, and God has an ability to glorify himself through you, if you let him. Now what happens is, there's a war going on. And we talked about this a little while ago, about how the flesh has taken on a lot of the accountability of our lives. Yeah. Scripture says, everything that was ordained for you was ordained so that you would be completed in the image and likeness of the Most High God. That is a reality. Yet there's self-hatred, there's self-rejection, there's doubts, there's fears, there's all kinds of emotional stuff, and I call it baggage, that we carry. And God is saying, he wants to take care of that. And last Tuesday, there was fire available. It was on the walls, and then it was sent out. Correct? And the Lord kept reminding me, even in that little blog that you sent out about the fire, and the core, and of course, Dr. Bob, you weren't here Tuesday. Right? Tuesday, fire was present on the walls, and it was sent out. Today, what did you see? But the volcano is what? This morning on the news, they were showing up north, I think Minnesota or North Dakota, where's the bubbling volcano with the water pools? Yellowstone National Park. And a couple days ago, I was talking to my niece, Nancy, And her son is way, way up in the northern part of the Hudson Bay, on the western part of this bay. And he called his mother to let her know, because he spends 2 weeks on the job and 2 weeks at home. He works 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. Well, he was very happy that it had snowed up there, because now they got rid of the mud. Everything is frozen. Well, I'm thinking, you know, this vision this morning of the snow around Yellowstone, and yet now they talked about Yellowstone being a park, but at the same time, it's an active volcano. And I thought, okay, and they showed the picture of the pool of water that was, you know, oozing steam. And of course, I know you've probably seen these pictures, but it's really a picture of the Lord. You know, what would be able to remain if you just dropped something in that molten stone? What happens when you drop something in the lava that is still coming out of the active volcano? It's instantly. I remember they showed pictures several years back when they had one of the volcanoes in Hawaii. And it was just swallowing up one house after another house after another house. And as soon as it would hit the land, people didn't want to leave their city or their town. Anybody remember that? And you'd see this molten stuff, and it looked gray on the outside edges, but it would just literally eat everything in sight. And I see a volcano as a reality of the abilities of God to burn up whatever chaff he has to get out of the way. That's what I see. And I believe that's what he's doing in each of us. He's getting rid of all that selfishness that has actually hindered our walk with him. Now verse 6 says, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. Now, if God is revealing himself as a consuming fire, and we are afraid of him, we run the other way. Right? When he came on the mountain on that third day, and Moses was asking the people to get ready, he came as a consuming fire. I remember reading a book the year before we went to Israel. And it was a book about those particular mountains that actually had photographs of it. I believe it was, I forgot the name of the book now, but I can still see the cover. And it was about a gentleman who was an investigator, I believe, in California, who wrote a book about the gold that was still at the foot of the mountain. That's what they went for. And it's when the golden calf was destroyed. And so the Ten Commandments and all the Exodus, the Gold of Exodus is the name of the book. That's what it was. And I remember looking at those pictures. And the top of the mountains in Arabia, literally, some of them are granite. And they're burnt char black from the fire of God coming down. So can a volcano come from heaven? Yes, it can. That's what I'm trying to make you aware. And then your comment, you know, Bob, was that you didn't know which way the fire was, etc., etc., but the glow came, the light came. Well, the all-consuming fire is definitely light. So whether it comes from the ground or whether it comes down, it's still the same fire. And, you know, it says, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me. And they have obeyed your word. Now, when I obey the Lord, it goes right back to my abilities that came as a man created by him to do a work for him when the Holy Ghost came upon me. That's that's when everything broke loose. Before that, I was a businessman. I wasn't interested in doing anything for God. I mean, I was searching for Him, and I was looking for Him, but I could not understand the wholeness of what He did in that time slot. Today, I can look back and say that consuming fire got a lot of chaff out of the way, because He definitely came as a fire within me. I remember on several occasions where the Holy Spirit hit me with fire that I was literally burning up. And I wondered if I was sane. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Put your hand up if you've tasted that fire. Thank you. So where it comes from is not important. Whether it's coming from down or up, it doesn't matter. He is the consuming fire. What is He doing? He's trying to change us, if we let Him. Okay? If we let Him. Verse 8. I gave them the words You gave Me, and they accepted them. So it's again important that acceptance is a reality. They know with certainty that I came from You, and they believe that You sent Me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those You have given Me, and they are Yours. All I have is Yours, and all You have is Mine. And glory has come to Me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming back to You, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of Your name and the name You gave Me, so that they may be one as We are one. Now, how can you and I become a consuming fire and yet think that we aren't going to have an effect on the world? That Holy Spirit fire that came into you and me is either going to cause anxiety in some, it's going to cause some hatred towards you. But who have you got to protect you? The all-consuming fire. You're just a little tiny flame, if you wish. But that little flame is able to change the world around you. You say, well, I don't think I have an effect. Baloney. How many of you have ever tried to get a box of darkness to remain dark when the light goes on inside? That's what you're doing. Jesus' prayer will be answered. We will become one with that all-consuming fire. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name You gave Me. None of has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scriptures would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of My joy within them. So again, the word is revealed, the Lord is revealed. He reveals His Father to us so that the joy of the Father and the Son will be where? Measured out within us. I have given them Your word, and the world has hated them. Can you relate? For they are not of the world, and more than I am, any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that You take them out of the world. You better check that one out. Because a lot of people want to escape. But You're here for a purpose. But that You may protect them from the evil one. So you are what? Protected from the one that wants to destroy you. Verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And as You sent Me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify Myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Sanctification comes by whom? By Him. So I want you to come with me now to Colossians. Chapter 1. And I'd like to give you a few verses starting at 21, hoping that you will be able to awaken to his plan. St. Paul had the same actions and reactions that you and I have. He was a religious man. He searched for God, and God decided to destroy his religion and recreate him in the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 21, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your mind because of your evil behavior. Some of you are still arguing about what you were in your mind. Oh, I should have heard a good amen there. Come on. So your brain is still being recharged or rechanged or recreated. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So where was your problem? In your mind. Because of your evil behavior of your past. I should have heard another amen.
Amen.
But now he has reconciled you by Christ. Whew. What did he do? Now. Not yesterday. Now. Today. He has reconciled what? Me. By Christ's physical body through death to present me holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusations. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Try it on for size. Just kind of close your eyes for the moment and follow out of your spirit. Say once. I was alienated from God.
I was
an enemy in my mind.
Because of my evil behavior.
But today,
he
has reconciled me
by Christ's physical body
through death
to present me
holy in his sight,
not in my mind,
but in his sight,
without blemish
and free from all accusations.
What a healing.
What a healing.
That consuming fire is at work in you right now.
Some of you are feeling it. When you said those words, some of you felt something on the inside. And I don't want a show of hands. Verse 23. If you continue in your faith established and firm, not moved from the hopes held out in the gospel, this is the good news that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. 24. I rejoice in what was suffered for me, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regards to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. So now you're going from the physical body of Jesus to the physical body of Jesus in the church. Notice the transition. It's still the same Holy Ghost that's in job. I have become his servant by the commission God gave me to present you to you the Word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. Look at your neighbor. Say, you're catching on? This disclosure is
for us saints.
Hallelujah. 27. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The anointed one is no longer in the earthly flesh that he was. He gave up that flesh to pay for us. But now he's alive in a body of believers. It's a corporate body. And this is proving it. Okay? It's his word that's saying this is truth. And it's a hidden mystery. The corporate body of Christ, when there's enough of the Holy Ghost coming together as one unit, will literally extinguish the darkness right out of us.
Amen.
That's what he's doing. Now you say, well, I'm not feeling that great today. Well, welcome to the club.
Maybe the irritation that's going on is for you to do something about it. And I'm not saying you should be different than you are right now. I am saying let him burn it up.
Let his fire come in to the place where he can transform you from what you were to what you need to become. He is the all-consuming fire. He is the all-consuming fire. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's go back to 27. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everybody perfect in Christ. Ha! The presentation is what? You and me, perfect in him. It's already a done deal from his point of view, and you and I are still arguing about the facts. Because of what? Your mind. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's the soul. That's where your war is. I should have heard another amen, but I didn't. I'm prodding you. To this end, I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. What is that energy that's working in me? His fire. His fire is working in me and in you. Am I perfect? No. Am I under construction? Yes. Am I being perfected by him? Absolutely. Look at your neighbor, eyeball to eyeball. Say, you're a work in progress. The fire is working on both of us. And we're going to give the glory to God. Because Jesus' prayer is being answered even as we speak. Hallelujah. That's it.